In the budget this week, the Treasurer introduced a new Job Maker credit scheme in a bid to create more job opportunities. The scheme was welcomed by employers, but there has been some criticism about there not being enough safeguards. JobMaker is costing the coalition government $4 billion. Aisha Janif asked Dr. David Bond, senior lecturer at the UTS Business School, how JobMaker was supposed to work.
People who have been on JobSeeker, youth allowance, or some sort of other support mechanism, and that they've been on that for one of the last 3 months. For a business to be able to gain these, they need the person working for at least 20 hours per week. For anyone aged 16 to 29, they'll get $200 a week support, so a hiring credit for them. And for anyone aged 30 to 35, it'll be $100 a week for a maximum of just over $10,000 for each additional position. So if you bring someone on, that would be, obviously there'll be wages you'd be paying out, but you'd get a reduction of that overall cost to you of about $10,000. The expected cost to the budget, or the expected cost of this program over 3 years, they're seeing that as about $4 billion.
And do you think businesses will be taking this up?
Yeah, that's a good question. Some of the initial discussion around it has been, I think businesses will absolutely take it up. The question more is this going to generate positions that would not otherwise have happened? So is it creating new jobs, or is it really just supporting and just reducing the cost of jobs that businesses would have been, putting out there anyway over the next period of time? And it sounds, again, reading some of the commentary, that they feel it's more the latter, that this is just going to basically subsidise the cost of positions that would have been happening anyway.
So there's been a lot of commentary around a job maker incentivising casual part-time slash. Does that seem to be the projection?
I suppose if it's on headcount per person, in a way, it would seem to incentivise business rather than taking one person for 40 hours a week where you only get the one kind of payment per week on them. It would seem to incentivise, having two people for 20 hours a week each, so you get those multiple payments. So how that classifies with insecure or sort of part-time work, sort of casual work, it seems to suggest that they would be maybe taking people up to 20 hours rather than taking a full-time position. So, sort of more that sort of casual part-time.
With unemployment rates rocketing, how will this impact employability going forward? So we'll see, obviously, and once businesses start taking this up, we'll see an influx potentially of people being removed from government benefits and put into the employed pool.
Yeah, I mean, unemployment, as you said, there's an expectation that sort of by the end of this year it's going to hit about 8%, which is lower than what was initially anticipated. But it is obviously quite a high number. For next year, they're looking at 7.25% declining to 5.5%, and then sort of starting to trend downwards from there. In terms of the individual and what that means, I mean, the longer, and I don't have sort of details to hand of the research here, but the evidence would suggest that as people stay unemployed, the longer they're on, that they are unemployed, whether that be on benefits or not, I mean, the harder it is to get back into the workforce. And I suppose the concern a little bit, and again, has been pointed out, is that a lot of the support mechanisms, as the hiring credits we just talked about, are aimed at a younger bracket, so that up to 35 year group, whereas there are numerous people who are 35 and older that have been made unemployed, and there doesn't seem to be a huge amount of support for them. And that's, I suppose, a concern in that longer term view, that what happens to that group. I mean, will there be the opportunities to enter the workforce again? So there are.
And how realistic are the projections from the budget for economic recovery when looking at, looking at the way that they're structuring JobMaker and the way that they're looking to support businesses?
Right at the moment, with everything that's going on, I would imagine it's a bit of a guesstimate. For example, I mean, next year's GDP growth, they're putting it at 4.75% and obviously declining after that, because that's sort of making up for some of the drop down this year. But a lot of that, if we're being blunt, a lot of that is hinging off a vaccination or a widespread vaccine program, well, vaccine being found and a widespread vaccination program in Australia being set up by the end of next year. Now, I'm not a scientist, so I don't know where the trials are, where things are sitting out on that front, but that I'd imagine there's a risk that doesn't happen, and it's a very real risk. And if that's the case, then in a way, a lot of these expectations, it's a bit of a moot point. Business and sort of getting money into people's pockets and sort of, you know, focusing on a business-led recovery, it's not overly innovative. When you look at the key things and where a lot of the big kind of the big numbers are sitting in terms of impacts on the budget figures, they're talking about bringing forward the tax cuts. So these tax cuts have already been sort of proposed, and they were proposed 2 years ago. So they're not new in that sense. They're just bringing them forward slightly. And then the instant asset write-off, which again I think first got proposed back by Joe Hockey in the 2015 budget, and all they've done literally since then is just to increase the size of the business that gets access to it, increase the value of the asset that can get written off. And these are very much the headline big figures. It's not overly innovative. It's not doesn't seem to be really getting at sort of major sort of public policy decisions. But again, it's getting some cash back. You know, it's getting cash back into the system, and hopefully there will be some level of confidence that comes with that, and people will start sort of, you know, going out and spending and getting things going again. But there's no guarantee. Again, I mean, we may see numbers start to rise. We may see other things take place in terms of COVID, which kind of, you know, would unfortunately put a dampener on all of this, and touch wood, none of that happens. But there's a fair bit of faith that, you know, things go smoothly.
Senior lecturer Dr. David Bond from the University of Technology, Sydney School of Business, ending that report by Aisha Janif.